I greet you in Jesus' name tonight. I am blessed to be here. Enjoy coming here. Enjoy the drive. It's a long drive, but it's worth it. And to gather together the saints of God. You know, as I thought about the devotional and the fact of self-righteousness, you know, I believe this is a place where you actually, the possibility of finding self-righteousness actually is in this group. It's people that actually want to do good. They want to live good. And we do want to be an asset to community, and we want to do a good job. And so I think we need to open our hearts and realize that actually we are the ones that are actually the candidates for sometimes being a little self-righteous and thinking that we're pretty good. And we really don't have a lot of needs. But you know, we are the needy people. And we'll get to that a little later in our sermon. I have a little children's lesson. And it ties together with some a little bit in the message. And so I didn't promise the children that I'm going to have a lesson every night. But I have a little illustration I want to give. And actually, I want the adults to pay close attention also, because it actually is a good lesson for me. And so I like to invite the children to come forward, and we'll get see what we can learn here. Represents a life without God. It represents a life without the Bible. Do you all have Bibles? Sure. And some of you children that go to school, do you have Bible memory in school? Do you complain about Bible memory? You don't? You like it? Well, good. That's it. That's excellent. Okay. Your school teachers have devotions in the morning? That's good too. So we have church here tonight. We have singing. We have the Bible. I
love this Bible.
I have a Bible at home that I bought many years ago that's just wore out. I mean, I use it, but the pages are falling out. I bought a new Bible a few years ago. This is really good. But this represents a life without a Bible. Now, you look at this vase, and you see this iron here? Which direction is it facing? That way or this way? That way, right? It goes that way. Now you watch this. You watch this closely. You look at that, you look through this glass, and you see that iron, which way is it? Just look through this vase, which way is it facing? Is it going that way? Right? And you watch this. You watch that. I'm going to dump water in here. Which way is it facing now? It's going that way. Which way is it facing now?
That way.
Now which way? So what made the difference? How in the world can you switch which way the arrow goes, but yet I didn't change it on the paper? I don't know if we have a physics person here or science or something that could explain all that. I'm not going to go into that. But
that's actually what happened. When I put water in his face, it switched to air. And that's how it is when we have the Bible, and when we have Bible memory, we have worship, and we have Christian day schools, we have revival meetings. It sets us on a different direction in life. Did you know there's a lot of children tonight that don't have these blessings? That don't have the Bible? They don't have church? They don't have Christian day schools? They don't have Bible memory? They don't. Some of the children don't even have parents that love them. It's sad. And that's like this. I are going the wrong direction. But when we have water in our cup, and for as you get older, the Holy Spirit works in our lives, and it sends us on a different course. A course to where? Where do we want to go? That's right. But we have to go the right direction. Remember that. A little illustration. I don't have candy tonight. We're not going to get candy every night. Yeah. Life isn't that way. Life isn't. We don't have those rewards every day. So I'm sorry. You're going to have to go back to your parents. And there's no candy after church. May God bless you.
Okay, let's sing our theme song. And I like to sing all three verses. Amen. We're certainly a blessed people. God's been merciful to us. Well, tonight's message is found in Psalm 34. You can open your Bibles there. There's a verse that sometime back I was reading this chapter and came across this verse. I knew it was there for many years, but I connected with it here more recently. It says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man that trusts in him." And, you know, this 2020, we've heard about the taste and smell and how people lost it. And I testified the other night how I lost mine. And, you know, as I thought about taste and smell, there's a lot of things in life that is connected to those two senses. You know, we take it for granted when you suddenly do not have it and you realize how much you value it. And we benefit from it. There's safety things that you're concerned about. The propane. I don't know how you heat this building, but if it's propane, they add an odor to propane, so you know that when it's present, and that's a safety thing. So if you can't smell it, it can be a safety issue. There's a lot of benefits that we have with taste and smell. We have a lot of pleasure that comes through it, that we enjoy food and enjoy good odors and so on. So there's a lot of things that are tied to taste and smell. I just want to tell you a little bit of a miracle that happened to my wife and I a number of years ago that pertained to smell. It was back when our son Kelvin, I think he was probably 4 years old, and he was with his cousin, which was 4 years old, I believe. And we were in South Carolina, and my wife and I and her sister-in-law were sitting in the living room, in the family room, and suddenly Wilma says that she smells smoke. And so they got up to look where the smoke is, and they knew they had the little four-year-old boys that were rather busy, and so they were quick, wanted to go check where they were. And here they were heading out back the house with a gas can, with some matches. And they were out to go light a fire. And they hadn't started a fire. There was no fire, but there was a gas can with matches with two little boys going to go light a fire. And with gas, it wasn't diesel fuel. But the miracle side of it is there was no smoke. There was no smoke anywhere, in the house, outside the house, and it was a humbling experience. We just thank God because it could have turned out bad. But God used the sense of smell of smoke when there was no smoke to save two little boys from a bad situation. Life doesn't always turn out that way. We know that. But in that case, God chose to do that. So we value our smell very much. Now, if you go to the Bible here, he's saying that we're to taste God. And he says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." So I have some questions that I intend to try and answer tonight from God's word. And I have just a simple question, number one, and we'll get to it. I'm going to go through the questions, what we're going to look at. Simple question is, I have for you tonight, have you tasted? Question two I'm going to look at, have we lost our sense of taste? And question three, if we've lost our sense of taste, do we know the kind of illness that we have? You see, with 2020, with COVID-19, if you lose your sense and your sense of smell and taste, you just connect it with COVID-19, right? So if we lost our taste of spiritual things, do we know what's causing that lack of taste? We want to look at that. And then we have our question is, what is your favorite longing? What is your appetite? And then question five, what can we expect if appetite is not sound? If we have an unsound appetite, and question six is my last question we're going to look at, what does a healthy spiritual appetite look like? So I want to read Psalm 34. I'd like you to stand to read the word of God here tonight. So you're welcome to stand, those that can, We're going to read Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked upon him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desires life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. You may be seated. Beautiful scripture. We certainly could go there and pull out a lot of truths, and I will at the work further into the sermon. I want to come back here. But first of all, I want to talk about the answer to the first question. I want to ask you this question. Have you tasted? Have you tasted of the Lord? Do you know what it is when he talks about have you tasted? You know, if I were to have I've made mention the other night that I like pies. If I ever have a pecan pie up here, and I would tell you, and I would eat a piece of pecan pie, and I would tell you it's good pecan pie. And you would say, well, I'm sure it is, but how do you know? If you haven't tasted, you don't know. You'll just go by what I'm saying. And I want to tell you something tonight. You know, we say that the Lord is good, but if you haven't tasted, you don't really know. You're just going by what other people say and observe others. So I want to impress upon you tonight that it's important that you know what it is to taste what God really is, a relationship with him, that you love him and that you connect with him and he actually works in your life and you, that you can actually go and unburden your heart and it makes a difference, that you know that by experience. It's not by what the preacher says tonight. It's not by what your parents say or your mother says or some other good friend of yours. I'll ask you tonight, have you tasted? The food, the table is laden with food, and there's lots of good food, and you can look at it, and it looks good, and you say, I'm sure it's good, it smells good, but if you haven't tasted, you don't know if it is good until you have tasted it. It's not sufficient to be without. It's not sufficient to be around others that have tasted. You need to have tasted yourself. And it's possible for us to believe that God is good. You know, we sing this song that God is good and God is good all the time. You know, if you're going through a hard time, sometimes you struggle with trying to comprehend that. Especially if life is difficult, heartbreak, situations. But I want to tell you tonight, if you taste of God and what it is to have peace with God, you will confirm that God is good. And you realize of his mercy and his goodness to us. Promoting goodness of God but never tasting it is hypocrisy. We can't get away with playing church tonight. That's foolishness. John 3 says you must be born again. Jesus spoke those words. And being born again, maybe you wonder tonight, what does it mean to be born again? Actually, the illustration I gave you tonight is actually what it means. The change of direction of life. It doesn't mean that it's going to cancel out all your problems or your temptations or somehow make it easy that you'll never face temptation again and everything's going to be good, but it changes the direction of your travel. It changes your appetite. It changes your desires. And yes, we'll get in a little later. We do need to cultivate those appetites. But it, being born again is so important. Ephesians 3 verse 19 talks about knowing the love of Christ. That's not talking about the love of Christ. It's knowing the love of Christ by knowledge, experiential knowledge. You know, I had to think about the 10 virgins. And, you know, the 10 virgins were good people. You know, when you use the word virgins, it means a person of integrity. There was 10 of them. 10 people that had integrity. 10 people that looked good, sounded good, spoke good, probably went to church. But there was 5 of them that were unprepared. 5 of them that were not prepared to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them that had not tasted. Or maybe they tasted and maybe they lost their taste. That's a possibility. Takes me to the next question. Have we lost our sense of taste? Let's just pause and consider that a little bit. Now, just stop and think a little bit. What do you really enjoy in life? What actually do you look forward to? Could it be that there's a possibility that you're here tonight and you have your life put together and church is an add-on? Is that all right? Is that all right that church life and God is an add-on? You know, when you build a building or you build something and you can have what you call add-ons. You have the base foundation, the base building, and then you say, okay, I want to add this, I'm going to add that. And usually that costs a lot more. Usually the add-ons cost inflated pricing. Is it all right to live our life with where we have our base and that we have our structure, what we live and what really means a lot to us in life, and then we add church to it and we add God to it? I'm going to ask you tonight, have you lost your sense of taste? As I read Scripture, and I read the fact of we build our life around God, that actually the things in earth life become add-ons, that the foundation that we have is God, and that we build our life around God, and we build our life around church life. You know, that makes all the difference, brothers and sisters. It makes a difference how often we show up at church. It makes a difference how often we support prayer meeting. It makes a difference how often we read our Bibles. It makes all the difference how often we pray, because we build our life around God, and then we go to work, and then we make a living, and you provide for your family and so on. But your life is built around God. So ask yourself the question, what is your life built on? Have you lost your sense of taste? You know, the brother the other night in devotions talked about the seed that fell in thorny ground. And the Bible uses terms like the cares of life and the deceitfulness of the riches and pleasures and so on, and how those things choke out the word of God. How can it be? We all have cares of life. We all have riches, do we not? Actually, there was a time the disciples came to Jesus and said, who then can be saved? And when Jesus was talking to the rich man, and he said, you know, go sell what you have and give to the poor. And then he talked about how hard it is for rich people to get to heaven. And then the disciples said, well, then who then can be saved? How are we going to get to heaven? What are we going to do with our riches? And God said, well, Jesus said, with me, all things are possible. Tonight, I believe it's possible for us to get to heaven, even though we live in America and have our needs met more than actually an abundant way. It's how we structure our life. What are we building our life on? On Christ's kingdom? Is church life an add-on? Have we lost our sense of spiritual taste? Is church life boring? Is Bible reading a have-to? You know, if you miss your Bible reading, you should have a longing, and you should feel bad about it. And I know that there's times in life, there's schedules or demands of life, and maybe we don't read as much as we should and pray as often as we should. But it should bother us because we have that longing and that heart desire to read the Word and to spend time with God and worship and so on. You know, there's a... We need to turn to this scripture, Revelations. And these letters were written to churches. I think Jesus wrote these letters. And we just need to take the time to look at what it says. Revelations chapter 3, verse 15. It says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, and I get the picture of somebody that their taste is kind of weak. Taste for God is weak. They're losing their sense of taste. And it's neither cold nor hot, and I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I'm rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked. And brothers and sisters, that could be us tonight. Rich people, lots of blessings. We have good church life. We're enjoying it. But yet not a true, fervent desire for God and the things of God. I believe it's possible that we could lose our sense of taste for God. Actually, if you go to chapter 2, it says in Revelations, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because I have left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. So he's talking about the possibility that people that once known God and have turned their back on God have lost their sense of God. They have tasted God, but they lost their sense and have gone back and lost their first love or left their first love. So I want to ask you tonight, the question three I want to answer is, if we have lost our sense and taste of God, if we have lost that desire and that fervent desire for God, and church life is boring and just Christianity is boring, you aren't enjoying it, maybe you're here tonight and you say it doesn't work for you. It doesn't work for you to be a Christian. Maybe it isn't working for you to be a Christian, but there's some reasons. I want to look at that. Possibilities. There's an illness that you have. If you've been a Christian and you're losing out and you're losing your taste for God and it's not working for you, there's an illness that you have. There's a sickness. There's a problem. Just like anything else in the physical body, when something goes wrong, you discover there's an illness. Usually they have a name for it. Well, I have a couple of them here. Number one I have is bitterness. You know, we talked a little bit about that the other night, about unforgiveness and so on. You know, but this thing of bitterness can actually kill somebody spiritually. It really does. I've seen it happen. You know, you can feel it creeping up in your own soul and you sense what's happening. Hebrews 12, verse 15 says, look diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. It causes trouble. It will cause a lack of taste for God. It will. It disturbs us. It causes trouble and weakness. And he talks about how it defiles many, thereby many be defiled. It affects relationships, affects people that we actually love and move about with. So it could be tonight that you're struggling with bitterness. If you have a lack of spiritual interest, it could be there's a situation in your life that you're just bitter and angry about. Which takes me to the next one, anger. James 1 verse 20 says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Ephesians 4:26, do not sin in your anger. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. And so tonight it could be that maybe you're an angry person. Maybe you struggle with anger. Selfish anger will cause leanness of soul. It causes a lack of interest with God. And if you actually do a study with anger, and if you have struggled with anger, I encourage you to get help. It's because it's geared towards selfishness. Well, oftentimes what makes us mad is when life is not the way we want it to be. And that's just plain down selfish. We want things to be different, and we get angry about it. And it will kill us spiritually. The next one I have is, and this comes right close to relationships of husbands and wives, and I'm burdened about that because I sense in the Anabaptist circles there's troubled marriages. And you know, I'm troubled with that. You know, I've known numerous cases where there's people that are in Mennonite circles and they're not living together. And that grieves me. How can you honor God? How can you honor God and not fulfill your marriage vows? And I just simply have it here. You know, if you lack your sense of taste and you're not sure what's going on in your Christian life, men, husbands, do you love your wife like Christ loved the church? You have that scripture. It says men are to love their wives as Christ loves the church. Do a study on that. What does that mean? How does Christ love the church? How did he love the church? How did he display his love? Do a study on that and you'll discover what he's talking about there. And it talks about in the scripture about wives respecting their husbands. And when there's a lack of that respect and a lack of that love in marriage relationships where there's vows that were made, there's a leanness in the soul that can creep in, a lack of spiritual life, a lack of love for God when we live that way. Another one I have here, another illness that can come into our soul is a sensual lust. Matthew 5 verse 28 says, "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." You know, those are just plain words. I don't even need to explain much there. You understand what that means. And he says, as Jesus spoke these words, Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." He says you need to keep your heart because it affects the issues of life. It will affect your spiritual life. It will affect if you love God's word. So a person that lives in lust will lose his sense of taste for God. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Romans 8 verse 6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." In Ephesians, it talks about how it causes darkness in the soul when there's sensual lust. It causes darkness in the soul. So those are some illnesses, that can cause us to lose our sense of taste for God. Another one I have, my last one under that point, is pleasure seeking. 2 Timothy 3 talks about lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And I think that I really am concerned about that in our day and age. Because there's a lot of money around today that people can spend a lot of money on pleasure seeking. They can buy all kinds of things that is fun to do. They can invest in it and they can afford it and they do it. And I think it's creeping into our churches where pleasure seeking is sought after at the expense of spiritual life. Actually, I'm concerned about how much pleasure seeking I sense happening on weekends at the expense of church life, at the expense of church attendance. You know, it used to be that you see the people going to the mountains and do the beach and all their pleasure seeking on weekends, and now I see Mennonites and Anabaptists doing that. And they're missing church. Pleasure seeking. I'm concerned about that. I wonder if it's going to work. Remember I told you about the seed that fell in the thorny ground, and that there's a word in there that says about pleasure seeking? You know, the world has their weekends. They work 5 days and then they have the weekend for themselves. That's our culture. And what's it doing to the church? Do we have the weekend pleasure things creeping in our church circles? I want you to consider that. Actually, I believe it's one of the greatest threats that we have in our churches. And you know, the things that we occupy ourselves in pleasure are not necessarily evil, not bad. It's just what it's doing to our church life. The next question I have is number four. What is our favorite longings? What is our appetite? You know, in a natural sense that we acquire tastes for things, we can. You can actually, you know, if I were to live in another culture and the food would be spiced different and made different, I gradually would acquire a taste for that culture and how they make their food. And we can acquire, we can kind of shift and acquire a desire for certain foods. And I think that can happen in a spiritual sense. I know it does. We can cultivate a desire for the things of God. It won't happen automatically. You need to simply sit down and open the Word of God and take time and read the Word of God, take time to pray, come to church and worship, and you acquire that appetite and that desire so that when it's missing, you miss it. There's different times I'll tell my wife that, you know what, there's some food that I would enjoy. And I say, can you make this certain food? And I enjoy it because I have a taste for it. And that's how it is with the Word of God. But it needs to be cultivated. It doesn't happen automatically. You need to discipline yourself to do it. And I asked you tonight, what is your favorite longing tonight? Are you comfortable missing prayer meetings? Do you miss spiritual fellowship? Maybe you would rather be pleasure seeking. Or do you have a longing for God? These are questions that we need to answer. We really do. I like Isaiah 55. He says, "Ho, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." So, you know, you need to direct our interest. You need to direct your appetite. And I asked you tonight, what are your appetites? Isaiah 26, verse 9 says, "With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early." I want to encourage you, young people, seek God early. Cultivate those disciplines. You can't just do what you feel like it. You can't go by your feelings. You got to grow up and be young men and young ladies and discipline yourself. You know, parents don't let their children just eat junk food. You know, we have structure in family life. You don't eat dessert first, do you? You eat the meal that's going to give you energy, and dessert's kind of the add-on. It's the extra. We really wouldn't need that. We enjoy it. But you don't sit down and eat that first. And that's how it is in our Christian life. We need to discipline ourselves and structure ourselves and have time for God and the things that will give us stability. Well, number five, what can we expect if our appetite is not healthy? You know, sometimes we as leaders, we observe things, observe needs, and maybe we talk about those needs, but you know, usually there's a deeper problem. The things that we may observe are kind of outward things, things that maybe are a display. It actually reveals there's a deeper need, but the challenge is to go deeper and to discover really what the need is. And so when I think of what we can expect out of myself or anybody that doesn't have a healthy appetite, it would be 1 Corinthians 11 talks about drinking damnation to your soul when you take communion unworthily. And it talks about being weak and sickly. I think there'll be strife in the church. You know, if we're here in church life and we don't have a healthy appetite for God, we'll have strife in the church. There'll be murmurers and complainers. And there'll be difficult church life. It'll be people walking after their own lusts. And Hebrews talks about the dull of hearing. You know, Jesus talked about that. He said, I'm here, I'm preaching to you, I'm teaching you, and you don't hear. Your ears are turned off. You're dull of hearing. It's because they didn't have an appetite for God. Another aspect that we tonight or lack this fervent desire or taste for God is we lack discernment of good and evil. We won't be able to determine what's good and what's evil. It'll affect our music appetite. It'll affect what we do with our devices. Actually shows up in the wardrobe. It does. It shows up in what people want to wear to show themselves, I guess, to show off. And I just want to remind you tonight that we have a heavenly focus. We want God to receive the glory. We don't want people to see us. We want people to see God. And so when we have this lack of a healthy appetite for God, it'll show up in our wardrobe. Shows up in our spending habits. It shows up in the choices of vehicles that we drive, and shows up in our relationships. And you know, there's this thing that we have in our society that you need to spend money to display an image. People spend a lot of money to display an image that's not real, that's fake. That's what happens when we lack a true taste of God, where we find our fulfillment in a relationship with God. So I want to look a little bit at what does a healthy spiritual appetite look like? And we're going to go back to Psalm 34. And we're just going to pull out a few points here quickly. And if you have don't have your Bibles open there, just go to Psalm 34. And, you know, he says here in verse 1, he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I want to ask you tonight, how do we bless God? How do I bless God? He says, I will bless the Lord. What does it mean to bless God? If you were to work for me, and I would come up and I would give you a blessing, that would be telling you that I approve of you, right? I approve of what you're doing. I approve of your work. And I like what I see in you. I like your attitudes. I like your expression. And I bless you. And the psalmist is saying here is, I bless the Lord. The foundation to our Christian life is that we approve of God's working in our life. And that we accept his unlimited power. That we accept that he knows everything. And that we accept that he never makes mistakes. He's never out of control. His arm is never shortened. But that we just bless God because we know he's God and we love him. That's a huge one, brothers and sisters. There's a lot of people struggle with that. They don't accept God. They don't accept his workings. They think God's making mistakes. God's not getting it right. Why is God allowing this to happen? Doesn't God love me? And the list can go on and on. But if we want to bless the Lord tonight, we need to just stop there and say, okay, God, you are God. And we accept you, we love you, and we're going to walk with you, and we're going to be dedicated to you because we know you're always right. The next one is we want to have a healthy relationship. How that'll show up is a humble attitude. In verse 2, it says, a humble shall hear thereof and be glad. A spirit of humility, a deep sense of our need of God. A deep sense of the need of God. Verse 4, it says, seek God. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. We really need to pursue God like men pursue silver. We need to pursue God. Verse 6, it says, this poor man cried. We need to be a person that expresses our need of God. I want to ask you tonight, when do we need God the most? When life is going good or when life is going difficult? I want you to ponder that a little bit. Most times we say we need God when things are difficult. Most times that's when people cry out to God. I want you to think about the fact that there's a possibility that we need God more when things are going smooth, because that's where we feel kind of self-righteous and self-sufficient. And that's actually more dangerous. It's more dangerous to feel self-sufficient than it is to be poor or needy. That's why Jesus said in the book of Revelation, he says, you say you don't have a need. You're rich and you don't have a need. And that's actually when they needed God. And I want to encourage us, when life seems to be bumping along rather smooth, I want you to discipline yourself to say, God, I need you, and take time to read and take time to pray, because those are the most dangerous times when people lose out, is when things are bumping along smooth and we think we're at ease. We need to realize that this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man that trusts in him. We need to have a deep-seated trust in God. When things are going well and when things are difficult, that we trust God, that he never makes mistakes. And we just need to surrender and give it up. And many times it's over and over again that we need to do that. Verse 9, it says, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. You know, developing a healthy fear of God is so important. A respect for God, a reverence for God, a healthy fear of God will be a part of a person that loves God and has tasted him. Verse 13, he says, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. You know, he's talking about if you want to have a desire, a reasonable life, a life that you can actually find fulfillment in living for God. And he says, it starts with keeping your tongue from evil. He talks about departing from evil and to seek peace and pursue it and so on. And I like verse 17. It says, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of their troubles. I want to encourage you tonight that needs to be part of our experience, that we cry out to God for our needs and we ask him to help us. Many times, you know, we think of a needy person, maybe a person that's in sin, but he cries out to God for mercy. But you know, the righteous need to cry out to God for mercy. It's what the psalmist says here. The righteous cry out to God. And I want to encourage us to be a person that cry out to God. Verse 18, it says, and the Lord is nigh unto them of a broken heart, and saveth such of a contrite spirit. You know, what does it mean to have a broken heart and a contrite spirit? How do we flesh that out? I just got a few suggestions. It's a person that actually welcomes structure. It's a person that actually welcomes accountability. It's a person that welcomes guidelines. It's actually a person that welcomes brotherhood. You know, we need each other. A broken and contrite person will be teachable. And they'll say, I need you. I welcome your input in my life. I welcome accountability. I cannot do this on my own. That's a broken and contrite spirit. And then verse 22, the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him will be desolate. You know, we can trust God. He's prepared a place for us. Some of us have loved ones there already. But we can trust that he will redeem our souls. But we need to be a person that have tasted. Just being around people that have tasted isn't sufficient. We need to be a person that knows what it is to have tasted the goodness of God and have a relationship with him. And yes, it may not be perfect. We will have our struggles, we'll have our difficulties. But I still ask you tonight, have you tasted the goodness of God? And maybe you have, but maybe you sense there's a need in your life. Maybe there's a sin problem. Maybe there's a lack of discipline. Maybe you're just careless and you're just bumping along and don't read your Bible, don't take time to pray. Maybe you're not indulging in great sinful practices, but you're just kind of lukewarm and casual. You know, you think maybe it'll all work out. I want to encourage you tonight to make your calling and election sure. Have you tasted? I want to give you an invitation to make that need, acknowledge your need, whether you're a person that never have tasted and you need to come to Christ and be born again, or maybe you're a person, you know, in my experience, there's times in my experience that I needed to have a renewed experience with God. My taste had kind of run dry, and God needed to do a work and renew that taste. And there's seasons and times in our Christian experience that we may sense that need. So we'll sing a song tonight, and if you would like to acknowledge that need, just stand to your feet, and we would like to help you find that peace. What shall we sing? 629 in the Hymns of the Church. We'll just open it up. Maybe somebody has a testimony that you'd like to share. Just pause a few moments. May God bless you as you search your heart. See where your appetites are. We have an enemy that desires to lead us away from God. And just because that we're in God's kingdom today doesn't mean that we'll be there tomorrow if we do not resist the enemy. There's an enemy that desires our souls and that will do all he can to deceive us and cause us to lose out spiritually. And that's sad when that happens. But it doesn't need to. So I encourage you to stay close to God. Continue praying for these meetings. Come back again tomorrow night, Lord willing. God's been good to us, giving us this opportunity. We plan to go back home again tonight. Pray that God gives us safety and protection. And may God bless you. Stand for the benediction. Heavenly Father, we bow before you. We thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your word. And Father, we desire to grow in our Christian lives and to be faithful to you and to love you. God, be merciful to us. We know that we're leaky vessels and that we need the infilling of your Holy Spirit from day to day to guide us and direct us and to purify us. Father, help us to be honest with our needs. Help us to realize that there's nothing hidden from you and that you know the intents of our hearts. You know our desires. You know the thoughts and the struggles that we have. And we just want to be open and honest and real with you. We want to be able to meet you in heaven and meet you in glory. And Father, we want to be a people that sends our sins on before and not that they follow after us. God, bless this group here. Bless each person that's here. Give them wisdom and direction. We pray for the souls that may be here that are not right with you. Give them the courage to make their calling and election sure. Don't give them peace. We pray that you would, as they lay down tonight, that you would cause them to toss and turn and finally break and be willing to come to Christ and find that true peace that only you alone can give. Just guide and direct us as we go from here. We love you. We thank you for your love and your mercy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.